We kick off hour number two of the program. Houston, we've hit the time of year
where the sun smashes your face at 8 a.m.
Right in my eyes. It's so weird. It's like a bunker here. I mean, there's only one way in.
No, you're like Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
In the, is that Raiders of the Lost Ark?
It is. He's got the staff, and he's waiting for it to shine.
Well, I was actually thinking of Last Crusade when he's in the temple with the big ball, and he puts his hand in the light, and those darts shoot out. It's a booby trap. I don't know how
That's
in
Last Crusade?
It might have been.
So.
It might have been Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Might
have been Lost Ark.
Looks good on the periscope.
Yeah, you have a very natural glow.
Get a sun. You get a tan. Get tanned up here. Tan Run Radio.
Tan. Fitting that it's you. That's why I chose this side of the room. I can't even see the window. I'm safe. Okay, I got some shades in the car. You want me to go get them? It'll be over in 5 minutes anyway.
You need me to stand up in front of it?
I'm good, Billy. Thank
we'll
you.
Get a little cover for
Thank
that
you
window.
For your sacrifice,
we'll get
though.
A we'll get a quilt to cover that that window.
My sacrifice.
Well, I guess we got the bumper music for the next segment.
I like this outdoor talk though.
You did? You like that?
Especially if things really get bad and it's like I Am Legend around here and you gotta survive the utilities.
Well, he
go
survived
out.
Indoors.
Right. Yeah. But it's still a lot of the same principles. I mean, he had to go out to get things, you know.
He did have a freezer with bacon in it, though.
True.
So freeze your bacon? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Okay. So what are you saying?
No, I just to think, how prepared would I be if, the utilities
How long
out?
Do you think you could survive in the woods by yourself? Let's say you take food for a week.
Oh, if I
Which
take food
woods?
For a week?
These woods.
The okay. Smokies are brutal because if you actually if you've actually tried to make a fire without if you look up safety and first aid, hiking stuff, and only take the stuff that they tell you to take into the Smoky Mountains and try and make a fire, it ain't happening.
I feel like you're making excuses.
Okay.
I'm just saying this land was settled by people who did just that.
Well, okay, fair enough.
You'd have I'd give you a lighter. You have a lighter. So you've got, what's that, 100 fires you could start with one lighter, give or take?
Nah, I mean, you could keep it going.
That's exactly. You there you go. Okay, yeah. So now you're using your brain. You got to keep it smoldering, and then you just...
No, you bank it. I know how to bank the fire for the night. You know?
Look at this guy. Bank it.
Yeah.
That's what smoldering means. You save it.
Well, I know. I'm just saying, you...
I'm saying people don't know bank it.
If you get hot coals... And then you put, right before you go to bed, if you put one of the bigger logs over the top, make sure you allow enough space underneath, and those hot coals will be ready in the morning. You can get them going again.
Do you know where you can always find dry wood?
Where?
I'm asking.
No.
The undergrowth of trees, the bottom branches die once they stop receiving light because the branches above it steal.
Yeah.
So you go around to trees, and the lower fifth of branches, usually dead. Snap them right off. You got dry wood.
Well, I mean, usually.
Do you know how to make a tinder bundle?
The places there's usually enough dead wood on the ground.
Well, yeah, but a lot of times it gets saturated if it rains. We got a lot of rain around here, so wood on the ground probably going to be wet. You got to steal it from a tree. Got to go find the dead trees.
And you need to, once you get your fire going, you need to put your next round of wood all around it.
Oh,
Let it heat it up and dry it out.
Exactly. Drying because typically you start a smaller fire with the undergrowth, because those are going to be typically thinner branches. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, then you find the big pieces of wood and let it dry by the fire.
I do need to learn.
Do you know that, Billy? You big camper, Billy? Billy Camp, they call him?
I would last.
If I gave you food for 7 days, do you think you could make it 4 days?
Depending on the temperature. If it wasn't, too cold.
Let's say it's right now. So last night's low was, 45 degrees.
I would need a fire. So probably wouldn't last very long.
Yeah, you could survive the night.
But if it was the summer and I didn't need fire, I could last a week if I had food, yeah, for sure. Now, hunting for more food, doubt it.
You don't think you could throw rocks at squirrels?
No.
Could you set up a snare? Do you know anything about snares?
Nope.
Starting to feel pretty rough for Billy. You might not make it.
I wouldn't try to survive in the woods.
If you found a creek, would you just drink the water straight out of the creek?
Depends on if I had anything to treat the water.
You got to boil it for a long time.
I can't make a fire. I can't build a fire.
I gave you a lighter. You couldn't make a fire with a lighter?
I would try to find a house.
Try to find a house.
And then the smart.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or a cat.
Well, Billy's dead. We could eat Billy.
Yeah.
So there's another, if we smoke the meat, we could probably make it last a lot longer.
Yeah.
We could, leave
salt it.
his body in the creek with the cold water. So that would preserve it for a pretty good amount of time.
I've been to Kate's Cove and I had to create a stream fed refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. I create a fish trap.
There you go.
Where they swim in and they can't get out. All right,
how long could you and I together survive?
Can I bring one fishing pole?
No, you have to build one.
How about just some line, fishing line?
All right. Do we get one item? Is that?
See, here's the thing.
I don't think that would be my one item.
Valuable to the team because I would just do all the dirty work.
Oh, yes, you would.
To survive. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So now it's how long could three and out survive? I think we need to kill Davey first, though, because he's just going to bring us down.
Yeah. It's like
talking about morale.
It's like China in the first place. Like people who are a dredge on society who don't really contribute anything. That's what the virus was for. Say, Davey, there's a bear over there. Go get him. We got to eat. Boom. Bear does the work for us. Then we kill the bear. Two for the price of one.
How are you going to do that?
What? Kill the bear?
Yeah.
Sharpen a stick. These are black bears.
Good luck with that.
What? I think you're dead before I am.
No chance. Black bears, look, they can be dangerous, but they're typically more scared of us than we are of them. Find a couple of birds, steal their eggs. Mm. It's egg-laying season. I know you hear them when you wake up right now. They're out there chirping and burping. Yeah. They're laying eggs. Just a little robin omelet.
I really have thought I need to study up on how to find
like mushrooms and
like
stuff,
dry stuff. No, like in the Smokies specifically, like dry stuff. Like there's, if you're near some of the balds, if you start getting up top, I know there's like certain grass bushels, mm-hmm. and you kind of reach underneath and get actually it'll remain dry under there, so you can start fires with that. But, I mean, it's tough when everything is just soaking wet.
Well, we're gonna get a few warm days here coming up, so maybe this weekend we all just go on a camping trip.
We can't. It's closed.
Close. It's only closed if you don't know where to go.
Yeah, but then if you get in trouble, no one's coming to help you. It's like
we're just playing by the rules.
It's like Mission Impossible hiking and camping now. Like if you,
I'm telling you, there's no one out there that's going to stop us.
No, that's what I'm saying. But if you get in trouble, like ain't nobody coming to help you either.
Nah, they'd come and help us. It's their job. It's their duty to come and save us. Will we get in trouble afterwards? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they found those guys in the park in Colorado.
They used the helicopter.
Yeah, that's what they do for us. Although airlifts out of the Smokies are typically really tough because of the canopy.
Mm-hmm. It is really dangerous.
The Smokies are the most dangerous national park because if you get off the trail, you can't find the trail.
And you're not going to be found at all. I mean, a lady that happened to her last year. Mm. There are two kids back in the, I think it was like the 60s. Older kid said to the younger kid, "Hey, you go around that side of this bush area where some trees were." The parents were on the other side in a field on a bald. Said, "You go around that side. I'm gonna go around this side, and we'll scare the parents." They go around the different sides. The older kid scares the parents. They're like, "Where's your little brother?" And they're like, "Look around.
Gone.
Never found him again."
It's a good story.
I mean, they put like tens of thousands of people search for days and days.
I feel like I could last a very, very long time. I've watched a lot of Survivor Man. A lot of people watch Bear Grylls, whatever.
Survivor Man's the way to go. He's the one that runs his own cameras and everything, right?
I don't know how he does it. He sets up like six cameras. No one's out there but him. He doesn't have a team of producers. He's just out there living the dream. He killed a rattlesnake in Georgia and ate it. He said it tastes really good. What, Billy? You don't think you could eat a rattlesnake if you had to?
Well, that would be my problem. I'm too picky.
You're not going to be picky if it's life and death.
You're too picky?
I've never been in that situation, so I don't know what I would
do
eat.
Do they have a Starbucks out here?
I don't even really like Starbucks.
Really?
I'll take you hiking.
What's that can?
It's not my favorite.
And I'll give you regular food, and you'll appreciate how much better it tastes after you walk
12
miles.
Oh, my gosh. That's what I was saying. Ramen and tuna has never tasted so good as when you don't have anything to eat all day, and that's your go-to meal. That and a granola bar, might as well be in Ruth's Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Water tastes so good. Even the treated water, when you put the little iodine pills in it.
I use a Steripen. You ever heard of that?
Is that the one you drink like a straw?
No, it's an ultraviolet light.
Oh, yeah. I know that one.
And you just move around the water for a minute, and it doesn't kill the bugs. It just sterilizes them. So you actually, drink.
Live bugs.
Yep. Protein.
But they can't reproduce when they're in your body, so you don't get sick. It's pretty brilliant.
How long have you used this a lot?
Yeah.
Never gotten sick?
Nope.
Well, I guess it works.
It's been out for years now.
I just like the charcoal filter stuff. Seems to do a pretty good job. Then boil it, obviously.
Nah, this is, you don't even boil it.
Seems like you're begging for.
Well, so
you're asking for it.
So the downside is, if you go somewhere like, I don't know, these people out west, like if it's going to be muddy water and stuff, it doesn't work. It's got to be clear, fairly clear water. So,
mine'll do muddy water.
Well, that's good.
Goes from relatively muddy to perfectly clear. Then you just drop in one of those little pills just to be safe, boil it, good to go.
Yeah, I usually have the chlorine pills or whatever.
Chlorine, there's like a chlorine pill and an iodine pill. You're supposed to use one of each.
Chlorine's my backup in case my battery dies or something.
Chloroquine phosphate, the fish cleaner, you mix that in there.
And you can always filter the water through like a bandana to get any like...
You can get a lot of big sediment out with that.
Yeah, to start with, and then treat it, and you're good to go.
Just always drink moving water.
Yeah, I usually look for some that's come through the mosses beforehand and is then falling.
Good creek water.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Natural filters, call it.
Nature's filter.
Do I get my sleeping bag in this scenario, or am I just like all of a sudden lost in the middle of the woods?
I would say, yeah, you get like a tent, you get a sleeping bag. Basically anything you can carry in a backpack. Not like one of these.
So my regular rig.
Yeah, your regular rig. How long you think you can make it?
With a week's worth of food? I mean, probably without even gaining any more food. I don't know, 6 weeks?
6 weeks with a week's worth of food?
Yeah. I mean, if you know it's going to, if you start rationing it and... I mean, I feel like these people on Survivor don't even realize how to get any food pretty quickly, and they're still... I mean, you waste away, but if you ration it out, stay hydrated. Don't be stupid.
Well, that's the key. A lot of people get stupid. They get risky, and they get hurt, and they get an infection.
Yeah.
Slow and steady, I think, is the key.
I do need to study, though, how to... You
got
snares.
You got a lot of time.
I've watched
you got a lot of time to study.
I've watched your boy a lot.
Who? Les?
Yeah. But I don't know if I'd
I forget what they're called. The ones he does where he puts some peanut butter on a stick and the rock is leaning over the top of it and the rock falls and smashes the rat. So then he eats the rat.
Like in Roadrunner?
It's actually a smaller version of that, but yeah. It's not called a pitfall. It's called something. Those are pretty interesting, but they're very intricate. I don't know if I could do that. I think I could catch fish.
Yeah, it's hard to get it to where when they start messing with it, it actually falls at the right time and gets them.
There's a lot of mushrooms you can eat that grow in the Smokies.
Yeah, see,
laurels? Is that what it's called?
I need to study the vegetation more so I know what to eat, what not to. That's what killed the end of the wild guy, right? Ate the wrong stuff.
Yeah, he ate
Alexander Supertramp.
Potato root. He ate that and got sick, withered away, and then a bear was going to eat him, and the bear said, nope. No meat on those bones. Not worth my time. See, if he was smart, he just would have killed that bear. Well, he did have the moose. He killed the moose, but the moose got infected by flies, so he couldn't eat it.
Yeah, he screwed that up.
He really did. The moose is too big of an animal. You're by yourself. You can't just kill a moose. You got to go with something smaller. Squirrels. Groundhogs. Snakes. A moose? What is he thinking? Maybe a deer. You can maybe do a deer by yourself.
I mean, the most important thing is to have your dry bag. I mean, because if all your stuff gets wet, like you're pretty screwed.
That's actually the worst. People don't understand. Like when all of your stuff is wet, it's misery.
It's over. Yep.
Just solving the world's
problems. Line the inside of the backpack. Well, I've got an outside backpack cover too. You can use, but if you just put everything that
in
you
its
have
own
to
bag
keep, yep. that you have to keep dry in a trash bag inside your pack, you're done. You're
and good. Then it doubles as a poncho.
Yeah. Multi-use items. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We'll come back with more.
Versatility.
Outdoor edition of Three and Out.
I guess.
Welcome back in. Hour number two, Three and Out. I want to know more about this treasure these people are trying to find in the Rocky Mountains.
No, you don't. It's a death trap.
That stuff
It's like Curly's gold. You don't want to find it.
My kids watched Holes recently.
If they would have called Nicolas Cage, they'd be millionaires right now.
Even with half of 1%, he found the super treasure.
Yeah.
When, I guess it was an antiques dealer that said he had put the treasure somewhere in the...
Antiquities, yes. He said it was pirate's gold. Coins, jewels, other things.
Did he, you said going back all the way to 2016?
Yeah, some people died in 2016 looking for it.
But how long ago?
Yeah, when did he hide
it? Oh, man,
yeah,
I'm sure it's a long, long time ago.
I didn't know if it was for a minute I was thinking it was a guy who's been around like in the 2000s and then like in the mid to early 2000s, he just decided to go and hide this treasure and have people look for it.
What's the most, what's the top treasure that we know actually exists? Is there one? I mean, there's all these theories about it, other stuff. But
it's got to be a ship that's been lost at sea.
I mean, I've always thought this stuff's fascinating.
Well, there was a show on like Discovery Channel where that's what guys did is they just searched for wrecks and then would go down. And a lot of times they'd get there and it would be gone. Somebody had found it and just not reported it. But sometimes they go down and find millions and millions of dollars worth of gold coins.
There was a really good book that I read a long time ago called Shadow Divers. And it had these guys are like North Atlantic divers. I mean, you'll talk about, this isn't like out snorkeling or anything. I mean, this is like dark water, muddy, nasty stuff. Mm. Anyway, they would they would dive deep in these, this rough waters of the Atlantic and to recover things, all that kind of stuff. But anyway, they came across this this World War II U-boat like no one had ever found before. So
the History Channel lists the Ark of the Covenant as the most famous missing treasure.
Indiana Jones found that. It's in a big warehouse in a box.
What about
top men found it? Top men.
This isn't necessarily like a huge treasuring thing, but what do you guys think about D.B. Cooper?
I love that story. I became fascinated with it back in 2004 when the movie Without a Paddle came out, because like the plot of that movie is they're trying to find D.B. Cooper's really like the money that he stashed and just any update. But I mean, they're still having shows come out like Cold Case Files to find out what happened with D.B. Cooper.
If you don't know who D.B. Cooper is, that's a pseudonym for a guy that hijacked a Boeing 727 on November 24th, 1971. I think he got $200,000, and then he parachuted out of the plane, despite an extensive manhunt, and FBI investigation. The perpetrator has never been located or identified.
They did find some of the missing bills, though, in a riverbed. Mm-hmm. I believe it was in Oregon. He was going from, I think, Oregon to Washington. I can't remember which state,
it was Portland to Seattle.
Okay. But no one knows.
Most FBI agents think that he probably did not survive the high-risk jump, but his remains have also never been recovered. The FBI has maintained an active investigation for 45 years after the hijacking.
Apparently, Forrest Finn hid the treasure in 1988.
Okay.
Obviously, it's much older than that.
Right.
But 1988. $2 million worth of gold and jewels.
Why would he hide $2 million?
Because it was a treasure. Mm-hmm. I don't know if that's a good answer for you. I don't really know.
It's a terrible answer. I wouldn't hide it. Just keep it.
But then people will take it from you, or you'll get arrested, or a million different things. Bad things can happen. You got to hide it so that you just don't have it.
Hide it in your house.
Then people will find it.
Well, I mean, they don't exactly accept pirate coins at the local grocer.
Or the flea market.
Yeah. Well, they might.
That's probably I'm just saying it. Trade
they,
it in.
They might.
D.B. Cooper, the only unsolved case of air piracy in commercial aviation history. You like pirates?
Where are you going with this?
General question. I mean, we got treasure.
Yeah, I mean, I think pirates are interesting. I think it's a little bit Hollywood-ized with the eye patches and the hats and the But, like, yeah, actual people who used to rob rich merchant ships and things like that and then hide the treasure on islands, so on and so forth. Well, we talked about this yesterday. Someone mentioned Count of Monte Cristo. You've never seen Count of Monte Cristo?
No.
Did you read the book?
No.
Really?
Really.
I thought that was required reading. Did you guys read Count of Monte Cristo? Really? Oh, man. I can't believe I'm explaining an Alexandre Dumas novel, but you guys absolutely should read the book and then watch the most recent. It's incredible. It's a great story. It has a prison break.
Okay.
It has buried treasure. It has revenge, love. It's a fantastic, fantastic book. And then the movie, the second movie, did a really good job. As far as I remember, it came out probably 15 years after I watched after I read the book. But no, that's a good one. I thought you'd like it. I thought everybody had read Count of Monte Cristo.
Nah.
Alexandre Dumas.
No, I like the whole pirate thing. I think it's fascinating. Even when you study like the real life stuff, like how it actually was. Obviously, it's not like it is in Hollywood, but
well, and Doug Janeway makes a good point. Any show you watch where they're actually looking for the treasure, they drag it out for an hour, and then they never actually find anything.
Right, so that kind of
stuff. I do like the idea of, not the new shows, but like people who would mine for gold.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of stuff's pretty cool. But now they just take those huge dredgers and flood an area and then dredge up the dirt, and it sinks to the bottom of a billion-dollar machine, and then they, you know, pan it out or whatever.
Yeah.
That's a little different. I panned for gold one time in Alaska.
My kids were watching Treasure Island on like Netflix the other day, and I was like, "Oh, that's good, you're watching." But I wasn't. I was in a different room. I finally come in there, like halfway through. It's like the wrong Treasure Island. I'm like, "What is this? This is like the old, crappy, terrible version."
Do you ever read Treasure Island?
Oh yeah.
See, I never multiple read that times. One. Multiple times.
Well, I mean, twice. Once.
That's multiple. Yeah. I would say. Two.
It's good. Oh, the only reason I read it the second time is because when I first got my Kindle app on like the first smartphone that would like do that, and you could actually,
that was the book that they gave you that for free.
It was one of the like four free books.
Is that your favorite book?
No, but it's good. It's really good. It's not for kids. That's what people don't realize. People took the book.
I didn't know it was,
and made these movies and kind of tried to. So you've got like it's a kid. I mean, it's an older kid. An older kid's kind of the star, right? Like it was Christian Bale in, I think. In the movie I'm talking about, it was who played Moses and what's his name,
the guy who's with the NRA, Charlton Heston.
That's it. He's Long John Silver in the only version of Treasure Island you should watch if you're gonna watch a movie. But I think that one was made for TV, but it's so much better. I mean, Christian Bale is Jim Hawkins, and I mean Charlton Heston's Long John Silver. I mean it's a pretty good cast, and there's other good actors in there as well.
Never saw it. Never read it.
But anyway, that's the version, and the book's so much better. But anyway, there's that, and then you got this show that came out on Showtime, and I think it's now through like it's kind of linked through Hulu or Prime, called Black Sails. Really, really good.
Big Black Sails guy.
It's like a Treasure Island prequel.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So like at the start, there is no Long John Silver. He's just John Silver. Like it shows his development, and you know, the main character is,
you're really selling this,
is Captain Flint, who they talk about in Treasure Island, but it's the prequel. It's so good. Yeah, I love this. And it's much more, it's a lot of it's like half of it's like real. There's like Blackbeard, Bonnie, what's her face with the knives. Like
and all Clyde?
Real characters.
It's Bonnie right? and Clyde?
No, not that one.
Is that
Jack
your
Sparrow?
Davy Jones.
And Bonnie. And Jack Rackham. These are real pirates.
Yeah, all those names are real.
Yeah.
They weren't actually half, you know, squid, half man.
I never got into the Pirates of the Caribbean stuff more than just like, oh, this is like a cartoon.
Yeah, they were entertaining.
And besides the fact that Keira Knightley's awesome and crushed it.
But like, well, at least now we know where your allegiances lie.
Thank you. All right, we'll come back with more. Stick with us. We'll get to your phone calls.
I guess
on the
we'll
flip
do favorite
side.
Books.
At some point. I still got to buy my Sweet 16 movies. We'll do that today.
Who's stopping
day.
You?
I don't.
Quit stalling.
The committee. The committee is torn in the last few spots.
Sad.
...865-546-8200. You can call us and weigh in on anything. We've hit that stage of the virus pandemic. And we got a great start for you coming up. We got Donnie in Virginia wanting to weigh in on the treasure discussion. Donnie, what's up, buddy? You're on 3 and Out.
Hey, you got the Bills treasure. That's one of your biggest treasures that hadn't been found down here in Virginia in Bedford County. Just want to let you guys know about that. That's
the Bill, the Bills?
Millions.
Bills treasure?
The Bills. Yep. B-E-A-L-E-S.
Ah, I see
Bills
this now.
Treasure. What is the treasure?
Supposed to be money, gems, all kinds of stuff. Wow. It's buried back in 1800s, and people's been looking for it for years in the mountains back here.
Hmm. Where did the treasure originate? Or is it an accumulative treasure from many different treasure heists?
I can't remember the exact information on it there.
Nate, get the details on the Beale's treasure.
Yeah,
thank you.
The Beale papers. Authentic statements, treasure buried 1819 and 1821, Bedford County, Virginia. Yep. Huh.
That's it. They've been trying to look at these papers and trying to figure out the location and it's several different maps and stuff, but people's been digging for that around this county for years and years and years.
That's incredible. Thanks, Donnie. Thanks
Beale's,
for the heads up.
Beale's treasure.
Appreciate the call.
Does it it's say
a,
what's in it?
It's a set of three cipher texts, one of which allegedly states the location of a buried treasure of gold, silver, and jewels, estimated to be worth over $43 million as of January 2018. Comprising three cipher texts, the first, unsolved text, describes the location. The second, which has been solved, ciphertext, the content of the treasure, and the third, unsolved, lists the names of the treasure's owners and their next of kin. The story of the three ciphertexts originates from an 1885 pamphlet detailing treasure being buried by a man named Thomas J. Beale, that's B-E-A-L-E, in a secret location in Bedford County, Virginia in the 1820s. Beale entrusted a box containing the encrypted messages to a local innkeeper named Robert Morris, and then disappeared, never to be seen again.
Do you say that he came across a treasure that was in a mine in Santa Fe?
I haven't gotten to that part yet, but okay. According to the story, the innkeeper opened the box 23 years later, and then decades after, that gave the three encrypted ciphertexts to a friend before he died. The friend then spent the next 20 years of his life trying to decode the messages and was able to solve only one of them, which gave details of the treasure buried and the general location of the treasure. The unnamed friend then published all three ciphertexts in a pamphlet, which was advertised for sale in the 1880s. Since the publication of the pamphlet, a number of attempts have been made to decode the two remaining ciphertexts and to locate the treasure, but all efforts have resulted in failure.
Failure.
Many arguments that the whole story is a hoax, but
yeah, it says that Bill came across that treasure, as I mentioned, in a mine located in the north of Santa Fe, and then Bill and 30 fellow adventurers transported the hoard to Bedford County, where they buried it in a secure location.
Wow, pretty Man, these cryptograms are pretty crazy. Just look those up on the internet.
Probably just a lie.
Bunch of numbers. Well, the second one was deciphered.
Allegedly.
Yeah, I do want to know, like,
$43 million.
What's the largest treasure that's actually known, like that you actually know someone hid it somewhere? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, ships going down. I mean, some of that stuff. And there's weird Bermuda Triangle stories and stuff. But some of that, you don't know where it is at all, like in the whole ocean. So that's going to be a problem. And I don't know, are there ships that have gone down that are just so deep you just can't get to them? I don't know
yes,
if that's a thing. Yes,
definitely a thing.
I'm seeing one for La Flor de la Mar, which means the flower of the sea, as it was a Portuguese frigate that set sail from Malaysia in 1511, carrying the largest treasure ever assembled in Portugal's naval history. That one went down. Let's see here. The ship was caught in a violent storm in the Strait of Malacca and shipwrecked on the reefs of Sumatra, splitting in two and
Sumatra,
splitting in two and spilling its precious contents into the waves.
You're talking of the Flor de la Mar?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 200 coffers of precious stones and diamonds from a half inch to the size of a man's fist.
There's a special on Netflix. I started it one night, but I didn't. Got interrupted about the Andrea Doria going down. That's a ship. I guess it wasn't quite as crazy as the Titanic, but it was that style. It was an Italian ocean liner that went down in 56, I think, 1956. And it's off the coast of the Northeast. So those Atlantic diver guys, like that was like, they would dive down there and like you could still pull treasure off of it. Like, you know, I mean, that book was written in the early 2000s. Like, they could still just go down and pull treasure off of it, but it was really dangerous, pretty far down, all that kind of stuff. It's kind of like the...
Interesting.
Yeah. Ship had 1,241 passengers, but most of them got off.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
Lifeboats and such.
Only 46 people died.
We should hide our own treasure. The four of us come together with something, and then we could create our own...
A map?
A map. I was going to say, like, I don't know, somewhere in, like, we put glyphs up somewhere, and you have to decipher the glyphs.
Glyphs?
Yeah.
Like,
I've never heard the term glyphs. That makes me an idiot. I'll just...
Like, hieroglyphs?
Oh.
Similar?
No, just... That's the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like symbols that no one knows what they mean?
Yeah.
And they have to figure it out?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Like 37...
The hieroglyphics?
Yeah, but they're hieroglyphs. Hieroglyphics.
Okay.
Is like, I think hieroglyphics is the study, the principle, and then hieroglyphs, if I'm not... mistaken, are the actual thing, and then glyphs are a different version.
Okay.
I've been playing a lot of Assassin's Creed.
I can tell.
And I
yeah,
have
yeah,
to go in and decipher. Yeah. Actually, I said right before this all happened, I had difficulty, but I still have a PlayStation 3, which is the only game system you can really play that on, and they were selling them for like $2.99 on at GameStop. So I got this Assassin's Creed 2 and 4. I already owned the first and the third, and the fourth one's called Black Flag. And it's basically just all around, like, treasure and stuff of
nice.
That nature.
So, Doug Janeway says, so the treasure from the Beale papers is actually the profit they made off selling the pamphlet.
Genius. Treasure comes after the pamphlet.
Right.
That's just smart.
Uh-huh. Good business.
There's worse businesses.
I guess so. We'll come back. Final segment. If you want to give us a shout, 865-546-8200. I guess we'll shift gears. I think we've killed the treasure topic for now. Stick with us. Final segment. Hour 2, Sweet 16, Thursday edition of the program. Final segment, hour number 2. Hey, Houston, the NFL's still going on. Cowboys, Dak Prescott, still talking about a contract.
Interesting.
The Titans signed some offensive lineman I never heard of.
Ty Samborello.
It's a good name.
The running joke is if you look at him, he looks very similar to Dennis Kelly, and Dennis Kelly will now be the starting right tackle. But Kelly was Twin used. Towers. Kelly was used a lot as far as a passing
too soon.
Or a catching tackle. You heard that right. They would like run pass plays with their tackle.
Yeah.
And Sam Borello did the same thing in Tampa. Mm. Like there was one play he had. I think it was like a 40-yard touchdown for a tackle. Sorry, he wasn't in Tampa. He was in Atlanta, but that game was against Tampa, I believe, for when I saw that. But yeah, that's now their third tackle. They got to do something at the cornerback position and the edge rusher position.
Clowney!
You remember when Buckethead came at me because I said Tajay Sharp was done in Tennessee once he did that crazy stuff at the bar that one time? Yeah, he's now in Minnesota. So I'm just going to go ahead and chalk that one up.
I can't believe you remembered that because I had not remembered that. I remember it after you mentioned it just now. But
yeah, he never did anything after that. Yeah. Now he's in Minnesota. So,
way to go at one of the 37. We're down to 36 again.
He'll come back around. He comes at us hard. We go at him hard. There's an understanding. It's fine. It's a sports take anyway. Who cares? There's as many as I get right, I'll get wrong. It's fine. The listeners will win their share of the battles. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport reports the Bengals are open to keeping Andy Dalton for the 2020 season.
What?
Of course they're going to say that.
They can keep him, probably draft somebody else.
Like Joe Burrow. Hey, they were having this talk on the drive yesterday. NFL helmets.
Mm-hmm.
You guys got that one is definitely the best NFL helmet.
The best NFL helmet.
I think it's Bengals for the win. Like, it's just a natural, I like the ones where the mascot's kind of built into the helmet to a degree. I don't know why. I'm not as big a fan of, like, the Eagle one or the Vikings necessarily, but, like, the Rams. I mean, that's why the topic came up.
Okay, that's
the Rams
ask,
logo
yeah.
and stuff. But...
I'm just looking around.
I think the
quick.
Steelers have the worst helmet.
Really? See, I actually like the Steelers helmet.
I always
like
the
with
Steelers.
The logo on one side and not on the other. I like that. I like the Rams helmet. That's very similar to the Bengals helmet. Just like it's built into the look. The Browns with the orange helmet, you know.
Just plain.
I'm just kidding. I hate the Browns outfits.
I don't know. A bunch of Cowboys fans got in the
I mean, it's a very classic, and, you know, the silver and blue.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't hate the Cowboys helmet. It's iconic. Raiders, I think, have a good helmet.
Worst take of the day. I can't remember who said on the drive, but they like the Ravens helmet. I'm like, are you kidding? That bird head, that Raven head is the worst thing going.
Can't beat the Browns. So much originality, creativity put into that one.
Well, you mentioned Pirates. What about the Bucks? You like the pewter with the red flag?
No, I don't, but I really do hope they go back to their 70s uniforms, like that creamsicle.
Yeah, yeah.
Like if that's because they're unveiling new uniforms for the 2020 season.
Really?
If we get that, yeah. So
for everybody?
That's
– Or just the
– No, the Bucks.
Bucks. Okay.
The Bucks are getting
new uniforms. Not everyone has a creamsicle uniform.
No, I knew that. I didn't know. Okay. When they went to Nike, everybody got a minor tweak, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the Titans went big. Then after that, and now, so the Bucks are changing up.
Yeah, granted, I'm biased, but I didn't really care for the white helmets that the Titans had, but I do like their new navy helmets.
They look like something out of the CFL. Get out of here.
Are we talking strictly helmets or jerseys combined?
Nah, they're just doing helmets.
I've always been a big fan of the Lions jerseys.
They recently changed their uniform, though. I like it when they wear the darker gray uni, like on Thanksgiving and stuff. I like that one.
I feel bad now for saying that, Davey.
It's not a good helmet.
I'm trying to pull up CFL helmets.
It's really not a good helmet, though.
What are you talking about?
I just feel bad for
it. It wouldn't be top.
I was a little harsh. I feel
it
like.
It wouldn't be top 15
sorry,
for me.
I'm sorry.
It's the navy on navy with the.
Yeah, I like the white one better.
I did like the white ones better. I think white helmets look great. They don't look as good, like, singularly on, like, a graphic, but on the field of play. White helmets always look good because when you have your dark uniform, it bounces it out. And the all white, I mean, the Stormtrooper Tennessee look is incredible.
Have we decided what our favorite helmet is, NFL?
I said Bengals.
Is your favorite?
I think it's the best.
Don't
helmet,
worry. Don't think about
favorite.
Team or franchise success.
I think it's the best helmet look for me.
I like the Bills helmet a lot. They've got a couple different ones. The white Bills helmet's really good.
Yeah.
That's a good helmet.
I like white helmets, like I just said. I love Tennessee's helmet.
I like the old Denver helmet with the D and the horse. Okay. Best in, it might be the Bengals, honestly.
All right.
Bengals or Rams? I like the Rams a lot. I like the Chargers a lot.
I do like the Chargers' white helmets.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are good.
I'm a big Colts.
Is that the only color
Colts
they
helmets.
Colts. There you go.
I mean, it's kind of
classic. It's very classic.
Yeah, very classic, plain,
if
white.
If you hate the Colts helmet, you kind of hate the Tennessee Vols helmet. So just putting that out
it's
there.
It's very similar.
Yeah, it's their main color, single, flat.
Hey, give me the Eagles helmets.
Eagles?
Yep, I'm going to lock that in.
Okay.
I wish the Vikings would do something different.
You don't like the horns on the side?
No.
What? I feel like that's kind of along the lines of what we're doing. I like the Vikings helmet. You just don't like it because it's purple?
No, I like purple, actually.
Okay. Just making sure. Just, you know.
Tajay Sharp got 1 year, $1 million contract for the Vikings. So that's not a lot if they expect him to be kind of a, I don't know. I guess they're, I mean, they kind of had two really good receivers with Thielen and Diggs, and now, I don't know.
Laquan Treadwell's, he signed somewhere else too.
Yeah, he was a huge bust for them. I wouldn't be shocked if they're still in the market. I mean, a $1 million contract for a veteran like that.
We've talked about it, but they're expecting the receivers this year to be very high on teams, but they're like looking at the third round of being the round of the receiver. Like, you're going to have a lot of great wide receivers come out of the third round in this year's draft.
That makes sense. And Ndamukong Suh signed with or re-signed with the Bucks, 1 year, $8 million.
Treadwell's to the Falcons.
All right.
Treadwell to the – really? Falcons loaded at receiver. I mean, Treadwell's been kind of a bust, but what, easy. But I'm just saying he's –
he was great in college. He has not done a single thing.
No, I know. That's what I'm saying. But, like, you think about potential. If a guy can get healthy and figure it out, that's a – I mean, also a place he's going to go where he's not going to be the number one guy. I mean, they got – obviously, they got Julio, who's the guy from Alabama.
Ridley.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley. He was really, really good. If your third receiver is Laquan Treadwell, third or fourth receiver, you're doing all right. It's impressive.
He's been terrible. I mean, he's been basically worthless.
Okay.
But – you know, I don't know. Hugh Freeze got a lot out of him. Hugh Freeze is going to be the only college football coach with a team ready to go if Liberty actually opens up.
Are they just going?
Of course, teams,
they're opening up school, but I'm sure the conference is holding back practice and meetings and workouts.
They've been saying
other
teams might even like boycott the game against them, even if football
does
happen.
Because they'd be ahead?
If football does happen, just to stick it to them and be like, you guys are idiots. You harmed our country by not continuing to social distance. We're not playing you. Like, even if everything's fine,
sure.
Just as a punishment. I don't know.
To be an Atlanta Falcons skill player, you had to play in the SEC. That
makes sense.
That's what I'm getting
SEC
from,
speed, man.
From their,
that's hard to blame.
Depth chart right now.
And while we're on the Falcons, they're going to have 10 first-round picks on offense that start on offense.
Gotcha. I thought you meant upcoming. I was like, that's impossible. How is it?
Which running back do they bring in?
Gurley.
Mm-hmm. He sucks, too. He's done.
You think he's done? You don't think there's any way he can? Okay.
Yeah. No.
I've seen it too many
injury.
Times.
Injuries. Those knees are done.
It's not an injury per se.
But it's chronic knee. I mean, bone on bone.
No, it might have been the result of an injury, but yeah. Is that what it is? Is it bone on bone?
Yeah,
or is it,
he's just
a terrible arthritis.
Yeah.
Well, that's not the same thing, though, is it?
It doesn't have to be, but it can. It can lead to that, yeah. There's no cartilage left in there.
I think probably get something out of him, right?
I don't think he's got it.
Load management.
That's what the Rams
fourth quarter
tried to do.
Fourth quarter only.
The Rams drafted.
Man, they were so bad this year.
The Rams drafted Daryl Henderson out of Memphis. They had Malcolm Brown. They tried to use all three of them. It went horribly wrong. Malcolm Brown was the one scoring all the touchdowns early when they even got had offense. Henderson couldn't get up to speed, and then when they tried to then lean on Gurley later, he sucked.
Yeah, he's a second round pick on him in fantasy this year. Terrible decision.
I thought with Gurley struggling, John Kelly would actually have an opportunity to see the field.
He looked good in the preseason.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's
he never got out of there.
He's fourth in the pecking order. Practice squad still, I thought. Maybe up and down.
Seems like John Kelly is a guy you could just roll in anywhere as a solid 2-3.
Well, it was more of a problem with the Rams. I think Daryl Henderson is incredible. Like I mean, the kid averaged like 8.7 yards a carry at Memphis, and he gets to the Rams, and they can't even
Yeah, their offense was – their like, whole team was kind of junk this year.
I feel like the defensive coordinators in the league kind of figured out some of McVay's staples.
Oh, absolutely.
Figured out new
well,
ways
I think
to,
Belichick
to
was,
attack them.
Belichick gave everybody the blueprint, and then McVay didn't do enough in the offseason to change it up.
3 points.
Yikes.
It's pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
In a Super Bowl.
You had 2 weeks to prepare, too, like to bring out some new wrinkles.
They probably filmed them. They probably had the playbook.
True.
I feel kind of bad for McVay. Ah, he got paid. So did Goff.
Wasn't like the Pats offense did anything.
Mm-mm. Well, Brady was he's on his way out. Not as good.
That was like 3 years ago.
2 years ago. Right?
I don't remember.
Wasn't it 2 years ago?
Yeah.
It was the last Super Bowl before this one.
Chiefs and then Patriots over Rams.
Yeah. Sorry, it's
it does feel longer. I will give you that. I mean, it's been almost 2 weeks, and it feels like 2 years.
It's crazy. I mean, people are everybody's debating like football, which doesn't happen this year. It's actually a late start this year. It doesn't start till September, like into September.
The NFL?
No, college. The first weekend.
It's all in September. Okay.
Last year was like end of August.
Unless they do that thing where they move it to week zero and give people extra practice.
I doubt they're doing it this year, but maybe.
Yeah, good point by you.
There was some news on practice, though. We'll hit that on the flip side with college football. We'll kick off hour three with that next. Yeah.
News.